Chapter 47. The One He Lost. Rand did not return to his rooms immediately. The failed meeting with the Borderlanders had left him feeling unhinged. Not because of their tricky attempt to pull him into farmatting. That was frustrating, but it was not unexpected. People always tried to control and manipulate him. The Borderlanders were no different. No, it was something else that had unsettled him. Something he couldn't quite define. And so he stalked through the Stone of Tyr, two Aiel maidens trailing behind him, his presence startling servants and unnerving defenders. The corridors twisted and turned. The walls were unadorned by tapestry, with the color of wet sand, but they were far stronger than any rock Rand knew, alien and strange. Each smooth span, a reminder that this place was not natural. Rand felt the same way. He had the form of a human. Indeed, he had the mannerisms and history of one. But he was a thing that no human, not even he himself, could understand. A figure of legend, a creation of the One Power as unnatural as a Tirangriol, or a fragment of Quendiar. They dressed him up like a king, just as they dressed these corridors with tasseled gold and red rugs. Just as they hung the walls with those tapestries, each one depicting a famous Tyran general. Those decorations were intended for beauty, but they were also intended to obscure. The patches of naked wall highlighted how alien the place was. Rugs and tapestries made it all feel more human, just as giving Rand a crown and a fine coat allowed them to accept him. Kings were supposed to be a little different, never mind his much more alien nature hidden beneath the crown, never mind his heart of a man long dead, his shoulders created to bear the weight of prophecy, his soul crushed by the needs, wants, and hopes of a million people. Two hands, one to destroy, the other to save. Which had he lost? It was easy to go astray in the stone. Long before the pattern had begun to unravel, these twisting corridors of brown rock had been misleading. They were designed to befuddle attackers. Intersections came unexpectedly. There were few landmarks, and the inner corridors of the keep didn't have windows. The Aiel said they had been impressed with how difficult it had been to seize the stone. It hadn't been the defenders who had impressed them, but the sheer scope and layout of the monstrous building. Fortunately, Rand had no particular goal. He simply wanted to walk. He had accepted what he needed to be. Why was he so bothered by it, then? A voice deep down, one not in his head but in his heart, had begun to disagree with what he did. It was not loud or violent like Luz Theron's. It just whispered, like a forgotten itch. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. No, he thought. I must be strong. I have finally become what I must be. He stopped in the corridor, teeth gritted. In his deep coat pocket, he carried the access key. He fingered it, its contours cold and smooth. He didn't dare leave it to the care of a servant, no matter how trusted. Huron, he realized. That's what is bothering me. Seeing Huron. He resumed walking, straightening his back. He had to be strong, or at least appear strong, at all times. Huron was a relic from an earlier life, days when Matt had still mocked Rand's coats, days when Rand had hoped that he'd marry Egwene and somehow return to the Two Rivers. He had traveled with Huron and Loyal, determined to stop Fane and get back Matt's dagger, to prove that he was a friend. That had been a much simpler time, although Rand hadn't known it. He'd have wondered if anything could grow more complicated than thinking his friends hated him. The colors shifted in his vision. Perrin walking through a dark camp, that stone sword looming in the air above him. The vision changed to Matt, who was still in that city. It was Camelin? Why could he be near Elaine when Rand had to remain so far away? He could barely feel her emotions through the bond. He missed her so. Once they had stolen kisses from one another in the halls of this very fortress. No. He thought, I am strong. Longing was an emotion he mustn't feel. Nostalgia got him nowhere. He tried to banish both, ducking into a stairwell and moving down the steps, working his body, trying to make his breath come in gasps.
"Do we run from the past, then?"
Luz Theron asked softly.
"Yes, that is well. Better to run than to face it."
Rand's time with Huron had ended at Falmer. Those days were indistinct in his mind. The changes that had come upon him then, realizing that he had to kill, that he could never return to the life he had loved, were things he could not dwell on. He'd headed out toward Tyr, almost delirious, separated from his friends, seeing Ishamael in his dreams. That last one was happening again. Rand burst out onto one of the lower floors of the keep, breathing deeply. His maidens followed him, not winded. He strode down the hallway and into a massive chamber with rows of pillars, stout and broad, wider than a man could wrap his arms around. The heart of the stone. Several defenders came to attention and saluted as Rand passed them. He walked to the center of the heart. Once Kalendor had hung here, glistening with light. The crystal sword was now in Cadswain's possession. Hopefully she hadn't bungled that and lost it as she had the male Adam. Rand didn't really care. Kalendor was inferior. To use it, a man had to subject himself to the will of a woman. Besides, it was powerful, but not nearly as powerful as the Choidon Kyle. The access key was a much better tool. Rand stroked it quietly, regarding the place where Kalendor had once hung. This had always bothered him. Kalendor was the weapon spoken of in the prophecies. The Kariathon cycle said that the stone would not fall until Kalendor was wielded by the Dragon Reborn. To some scholars, that passage had implied that the sword would never be wielded. But the prophecies did not work that way. They were made to be fulfilled. Rand had studied the Kariathon prophecy. Unfortunately, teasing out its meaning was like trying to untie 100 yards of tangled rope with one hand. Taking the sword that cannot be touched was one of the first major prophecies that he had fulfilled. But was his taking of Kalendor a meaningless sign, or was it a step? Everyone knew the prophecy, but few asked the question that should have been inevitable. Why? Why did Rand have to take up the sword? Was it to be used in the last battle? The sword was inferior as a Saangreal, and he doubted that it was intended to be used simply as a sword. Why did the prophecies not speak of the Choidon Khal? He had used those to cleanse the taint. The access key gave Rand power well beyond what Kalendor could provide, and that power came with no strings. The statuette was freedom, but Kalendor was just another box. A talk of the Choidon Khal and their keys was absent from the prophecies. Rand found that frustrating, for the prophecies were, in a way, the grandest and most stifling box of them all. He was trapped inside of them. Eventually, they would suffocate him.
"I told them,"
Luz Theron whispered.
"Told them what?"
Rand demanded.
"That the plan would not work,"
Luz Theron said, voice very soft.
"That brute force would not contain him. They called my plan brash. But these weapons they created, they were too dangerous, too frightening. No man should hold such power."
Rand struggled with the thoughts, the voice, the memories. He couldn't recall much at all of Luz Theron's plan to seal the Dark One's prison. A Choidon Khal had been built for that purpose? Was that the answer? Had Luz Theron made the wrong choice? Why, then, was there no mention of them in the prophecies? Rand turned to leave the empty chamber.
"Guard this place no more," he said to the defenders. "There is nothing here of worth. I'm not sure if there ever was."
The men looked shocked, mortified, like children just chastised by a beloved father. But there was a war coming, and he wouldn't leave soldiers behind to defend an empty room. Rand gritted his teeth and strode into a hallway. Kalendor. Where had Cadswain hidden it? He knew she'd taken rooms in the stone, again pushing the limits of his exile. He would have to do something about that. Cast her from the stone, perhaps? He hurried up the stone steps, then left the stairwell on a random floor, continuing to move. Sitting now would drive him mad. He worked so hard to keep from being tied with strings, but at the end of the day, the prophecies would see that he did what he was supposed to. They were more manipulative, more devious than any Aes Sedai. His anger welled up inside him, raging against its constraints. The quiet voice deep within shivered at the tempest. Rand leaned his left arm against the wall, bowing his head, teeth gritted. "I will be strong," he whispered. And yet the anger would not go away. And why should it? The Borderlanders defied him, the Seanchan defied him, the Aes Sedai pretended to obey him, yet dined with Cadswain behind his back and danced at her command. Cadswain defied him most of all, staying right near him, flouting his words of command and twisting his intentions. He pulled out the access key, fingering it. The last battle loomed, and he spent what little time he had riding to meetings with people who insulted him. The Dark One was unraveling the pattern more each day, and those sworn to protect the borders were hiding in far matting. He glanced around, breathing deeply. Something about this particular hallway seemed familiar. He wasn't certain why. It looked like all of the others. Rugs of gold and red. An intersection of hallways ahead. Maybe he shouldn't have let the Borderlanders survive their defiance. Perhaps he should go back and see that they learned to fear him. But no, he didn't need them. He could leave them for the Seanchan. That Borderlander army would serve to slow his enemies here in the south. Perhaps that would keep the Seanchan from his flanks while he dealt with the Dark One. But was there perhaps a way to stop the Seanchan for good? He looked down at the access key. Once he had tried to use Kalimdor to fight the foreign invaders. He hadn't yet understood why the sword was so difficult to control. Only after his disastrous assault had Cadswain explained what she knew about it. Rand needed to be in a circle with two women before he could safely wield the sword that was not a sword. That had been his first major failure as a commander. But he had a better tool now. The most powerful tool ever created. Surely no human could hold more of the one power than he had when cleansing Saidin. Burning Graendal and Natran's barrow away had required only a fraction of what Rand could summon. If he turned that against the Seanchan, then he could go to the last battle with confidence, no longer worried about what was creeping along behind him. He had given them their chance, several chances. He had warned Cadswain, told her that he'd bind the Daughter of the Nine Moons to him. One way or another. It would not take long.
"There," Luz Theron said. "We stood there."
Rand frowned. What was the madman babbling about? He glanced around. The white hallway's floor was tiled in red and black patterns. A few tapestries fluttered on the walls. With shock, Rand realized that several of them depicted him, taking the stone, holding Kalimdor, killing Trollocs.
"Fighting the Seanchan wasn't our first failure," Luz Theron whispered. "No. Our first failure happened here, in this hallway."
Exhausted, following the battle with the Trollocs and Murdrol, his side throbbing, the stone still ringing with the cries of the wounded, feeling he could do anything. Anything. Standing above the corpse of a young girl, just a child, Kalimdor glowing in his fingers, the body suddenly jerked. Moraine had stopped him. Bringing to life the dead was beyond him, she'd said.
"Oh, I wish she was still here," Rand thought.
He had often been frustrated with her, but she, more than anyone else, had seemed to grasp just what it was he was expected to do. She'd made him more willing to do it, even when he'd been angry with her. He turned away. Moraine had been right. He could not bring life to those who were dead. But he was very good at bringing death to those who lived.
"Gather your spear, sisters," Rand called over his shoulder to his Aiel guards.
We're going to battle.
Now? One of them asked. It is nightfall.
Have I been walking that long? Rand thought with surprise.
Yes, he said. The darkness won't matter. I shall create light enough.
He fingered the access key, feeling a thrill and a horror at the same time. He had driven the Shan Chan back into the ocean once. He would do so again. Alone. Yes, he would drive them back. At least the ones he left alive.
Go!
He shouted at the maidens. They left him, loping down the hallway. What had happened to his control? The ice had grown thin lately. He walked back to the stairway and climbed a few flights up toward his rooms. The Shan Chan would know his fury. They dared to provoke the Dragon Reborn. He offered them peace and they laughed at him. He threw open the door to his rooms, silencing the eager defenders on guard outside with a sharply upraised hand. He was not in the mood for their prattle. He stormed inside and was annoyed to find that the guards had allowed someone inside. An unfamiliar figure stood with his back to Rand, looking out the open balcony doors.
What?
Rand began. The man turned. It was not a stranger. Not a stranger at all. It was Tam. His father. Rand stumbled back. Was this an apparition? Some twisted trick of the Dark One? But no, it was Tam. There was no mistaking the man's kindly eyes. Though he was a head shorter than Rand, Tam had always seemed more solid than the world around him. His broad chest and steady legs could not be moved, not because he was strong. Rand had met many men of greater strength during his travels. Strength was fleeting. Tam was real, certain and stable. Just looking at him brought comfort. But comfort clashed with who Rand had become. His worlds met, the person he had been, the person he had become, like a jet of water on a white-hot stone. One shattering, the other turning to steam. Tam stood, hesitant, in the balcony doorway, lit by two flickering lamps on stands in the room. Rand understood Tam's hesitation. They were not blood father and son. Rand's blood father had been Janduin, clan chief of the Tardad Aiel. Tam was just the man who had found Rand on the slopes of Dragonmount. Just the man who had raised him. Just the man who had taught him everything he knew. Just the man Rand loved and revered and always would, no matter what their blood connection.
Rand,
Tam's voice was awkward.
Please, Rand said through his shock. Please, sit.
Tam nodded. He closed the balcony doors, then walked forward and took one of the chairs. Rand sat too. They stared across the room at one another. The stone walls were bare. Rand preferred them unornamented with tapestries or paintings. The rug was yellow and red, and so large it reached to all four walls. The room felt too perfect. A vase of freshly cut Dara lilies and Kalima blossoms sat there, right where it should. Chairs in the center, arranged too correctly. The room didn't look lived in. Like so many places he stayed, it wasn't home. He hadn't truly had a home since he'd left the Two Rivers. Tam sat in one chair, Rand in another. Rand realized he still had the access key in his hand, so he set it on the sun-patterned rug before him. Tam glanced at Rand's stump, but said nothing. He clenched his hands together, probably wishing he had something to work on. Tam was always more comfortable talking about uncomfortable things when he had something to do with his hands, whether it be checking the straps on a harness or shearing a sheep.
Light, Rand thought, feeling a sudden urge to enfold Tam in a hug.
Familiarity and memories flooded back into his mind. Tam delivering brandy to the Winespring Inn for Beltane. The pleasure Tam took in his pipe, his patience and his kindness. His unexpected Heronmark sword.
I know him so well, and yet I've rarely thought of him recently.
How? Rand said.
Tam, how did you get here? How did you find me?
Tam chuckled quietly.
You've been sending non-stop messengers to all the great cities these last few days, telling them to marshal their armies for war. I think a man would have to be blind, deaf, and drunk not to know where to find you.
But my messengers haven't gone to the Two Rivers.
I wasn't in the Two Rivers, Tam said. Some of us have been fighting alongside Perrin.
Of course, Rand thought. Nynaeve must have contacted Perrin. The colors swirled. She was so worried about him and Matt. It must have been easy for Tam to come back with her. Was Rand really having this conversation? He had given up on returning to the Two Rivers, on ever seeing his father again. It felt so good, despite the awkwardness. Tam's face held more lines than it had before, and the few determined streaks of black in his hair had finally given in and gone silver. But he was the same. So many people had changed around Rand. Matt, Perrin, Egwene, Nynaeve. It was a wonder to meet someone from his old life who was the same. Tam, the man who had taught Rand to seek the void. Tam was a rock that seemed to him stronger than the stone itself. Rand's mood darkened slightly.
Wait, Perrin has been using Two Rivers folk?
Tam nodded.
He needed us. That boy's put on a balancing act to impress any menagerie performer. What with the Shan Chan and the Prophet's men, not to mention the White Cloaks and the Queen.
The Queen, Rand said.
Aye, Tam said, though she says she's not Queen anymore. Elaine's mother.
She lives, then? Rand asked.
She does, little thanks to the White Cloaks, Tam said with distaste.
Has she seen Elaine? Rand asked. You mentioned White Cloaks. How did he run into White Cloaks? Tam began to answer, but Rand held up a hand. No, wait. I can get a report from Perrin when I wish it. I'll not have our time together spent with you acting the messenger.
Tam smiled faintly.
What? Rand asked.
Ah, oh, son, he said, shaking his head, broad, hard-working hands clasped before him. They've really done it. They've gone and made a king out of you. What happened to the gangly boy, so wide-eyed at Beltane? Where's the uncertain lad I raised all those years?
He's dead, Rand said immediately. Tam nodded slowly.
I can see that. You must know, then, about...
That you're not my father? Rand guessed. Tam nodded, looking down.
I've known since the day I left Emmons Field, Rand replied. You spoke of it in your fever dreams. I refused to believe it for a time, but I was eventually persuaded.
Yes, Tam said.
I can see how.
He gripped his hands together tightly. I never meant to lie to you, son. Or, well, I guess I shouldn't call you that, should I?
You can call me son, Rand thought. You are my father, no matter what some may say.
But he couldn't force the words out. The dragon reborn couldn't have a father. A father would be a weakness to be exploited, even more than a woman like Min. Lovers were expected, but the dragon reborn had to be a figure of myth, a creature nearly as large as the pattern itself. He had difficulty getting people to obey as it was. What would it do if it were known that he kept his father nearby? If it were known that the dragon reborn relied upon the strength of a shepherd? The quiet voice in his heart was screaming.
You did well, Tam, Rand found himself saying. By keeping the truth from me, you likely saved my life. If people had known that I was a foundling and discovered near Dragonmount, no less, well, word would have spread. I might very well have been assassinated as a child.
Oh, Tam said.
Well then, I'm glad I did it.
Rand picked up the access key. It, too, brought him comfort. Then stood. Tam hastily joined him, acting more and more like just another retainer or servant.
You have done a great service, Tam Althor, Rand said.
By protecting and raising me, you have ushered in a new age. The world owes you a debt. I will see that you are cared for the rest of your life.
I appreciate that, my lord, Tam said.
But it isn't necessary. I have what I need. Was he hiding a grin? Perhaps it had been a pompous speech. The room felt stifling, and Rand turned, crossing the fine rug and throwing open the balcony doors again. The sun had indeed set, and darkness had fallen on the city. A crisp ocean breeze blew across him as he stepped out to the balcony railing into the night. Tam stepped up beside him.
I'm afraid I lost your sword, Rand found himself saying.
It felt foolish.
That's all right, Tam said.
I don't know that I ever deserved the thing anyway.
Were you really a blade master?
Tam nodded.
I suppose. I killed a man who was one. Did it in front of witnesses, but I've never forgiven myself for it. Though it needed doing.
The ones that need to be done often seem the ones that we least like to have to do.
That's the truth if I've ever heard it, Tam said, sighing softly, leaning on the balcony railing.
Lit windows were beginning to shine in the darkness below.
It's so strange. My boy, the Dragon Reborn. All of those stories I heard when traveling the world, I'm part of them.
Think how it feels for me, Rand said. Tam chuckled.
Yes. Yes, I suppose you understand exactly what I mean, don't you? Funny, isn't it?
Funny? Rand shook his head.
No. Not that. My life isn't my own. I'm a puppet for the pattern and the prophecies, made to dance for the world before having my strings cut.
Tam frowned.
That's not true, son. My lord. I can't see it any other way.
Tam crossed his arms on the smooth stone railing.
I guess I can understand. I remember some of those emotions myself, during the days when I was a soldier. You know that I fought against here? You'd think I would have painful memories coming here. But one enemy often comes to seem like another. I don't bear any grudges.
Rand rested the access key on the railing, but held it tightly. He did not lean down. He remained straight-backed.
A soldier doesn't have a lot of choices for his own destiny either, Tam said, tapping softly on the railing with an idle finger. More important men make all the decisions. Men, well, I guess like you.
But my choices are made for me by the pattern itself, Rand said. I have less freedom than the soldiers.
You could have run, deserted, or at least gotten out by legal means.
And you can't run? Tam asked.
I don't think the pattern would let me, Rand said. What I do is too important. It would just force me back in line. It has done so a dozen times already.
And would you really want to run? Tam asked. Rand didn't reply.
I could have left those wars, but at the same time I couldn't have. Not without betraying who I was. I think it's the same for you. Does it matter if you can run when you know that you're not going to?
I'm going to die at the end of this, Rand said, and I have no choice. Tam stood up straight, frowning. In an instant, Rand felt that he was 12 years old again.
I won't have talk like that, Tam said. Even if you're the Dragon Reborn, I won't listen to it. You always have a choice. Maybe you can't pick where you're forced to go, but you still have a choice.
But how? Tam laid a hand on Rand's shoulder.
A choice isn't always about what you do, son, but why you do it. When I was a soldier, there were some men who fought simply for the money. There were others who fought for loyalty. Loyalty to their comrades or to the crown or to whatever. The soldier who dies for money and the soldier who dies for loyalty are both dead. But there's a difference between them. One death meant something. The other didn't. I don't know if it's true that you'll need to die for this all to play out. But we both know you aren't going to run from it.
Changed though you are, I can see that some things are the same. So I won't stand any whining on the subject.
I wasn't whining, Rand began.
I know, Tam said. Kings don't whine, they deliberate.
He seemed to be quoting someone, though Rand had no idea who. Oddly, Tam gave a brief chuckle.
It doesn't matter, Tam continued. Rand, I think you can survive this. I can't imagine that the pattern won't give you some peace, considering the service you're doing for us all. But you're a soldier going to war, and the first thing a soldier learns is that you might die. You may not be able to choose the duties you're given, but you can choose why you fulfill them.
Why do you go to battle, Rand?
Because I must.
That's not good enough, Tam said. To the crows with that woman. I wish she'd come to me sooner. If I'd known...
What woman?
Cad Swain Sedai, Tam said. She brought me here, said that I needed to talk to you. I'd stayed away previously because I thought the last thing you needed was your father stomping across your field.
Tam continued, but Rand stopped listening. Cad Swain. Tam had come because of Cad Swain. It wasn't because Tam had noticed Nynaeve and taken the opportunity, not because he'd just wanted to check on his son, but because he'd been manipulated into coming.
Would the woman never leave Rand alone?
His emotions seeing Tam were so strong that they had worn away the ice. Too much affection was like too much hatred. Either one made him feel, which was something he could not risk. But he had. And suddenly, feeling nearly overcame him. He shuddered, turning away from Tam. Had their conversation all been another one of Cad Swain's games? What was Tam's part in it?
Rand? Tam asked. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have brought up the Aes Sedai. She said you might be angry if I mentioned her.
What else did she say?
Rand demanded, spinning back toward Tam. The stout man took a hesitant step backward. Night air blew around them, lights from the city dots below.
Well, Tam said, she told me that I should talk about your youth. Remind you of better times. She thought...
She manipulates me,
Rand said softly, meeting Tam's eyes.
And she manipulates you. Everyone ties their strings to me.
The rage boiled inside. He tried to shove it back, but it was so difficult. Where was the ice, the quiet? Desperately, Rand sought the void. He tried pouring all of his emotions into the flame of a candle as Tam had taught so long ago. Saidine was waiting there. Without thought, Rand seized it, and in doing so was overwhelmed with those emotions he thought he'd abandoned. The void shattered, but somehow Saidine remained, struggling against him. He screamed as the nausea hit him, and he threw his anger against it in defiance.
Rand, Tam said, frowning, you should know better than...
Be silent,
Rand bellowed, throwing Tam to the floor with a flow of air. Rand wrestled with his rage on one side and Saidine on the other. They threatened to crush him between them. This was why he needed to be strong. Couldn't they see? How could a man laugh when confronted by forces like these?
I am the dragon reborn,
Rand roared at Saidine, at Tam, at Cad Swain, at the creator himself.
I will not be your pawn.
He pointed at Tam with the access key. His father lay on the stone floor of the balcony.
You come from Cad Swain pretending to show me affection, but you unwind another of her strings to tie about my throat. Can I not be free of you all?
He had lost control, but he didn't care. They wanted him to feel? He would feel then. They wanted him to laugh? He would laugh as they burned. Screaming at them all, he wove threads of air and fire. Luce Theron howled in his head. Saidine tried to destroy both of them, and the quiet voice inside Rand's heart vanished. A prick of light grew in front of Rand, sprouting from the center of the access key. The weaves for balefire spun before him, and the access key grew brighter as he drew in more power. By that light, Rand saw his father's face looking up at him. Terrified.
What am I doing?
Rand began to shake, the balefire unraveling before he had time to loose it. He stumbled backward in horror.
What am I doing?
Rand thought again.
No more than I've done before,
Luz Theron whispered. Tam continued to stare at him, face shadowed by the night.
Oh, light,
Rand thought with terror, shock, and rage. I am doing it again.
I am a monster.
Still holding tenuously to Sayadin, Rand wove a gateway to Abu Dhar, then ducked through, fleeing from the horror in Tam's eyes.